90.7 WKGC. This is The Mix. A little sweet there in the ballroom blitz. It's Monday morning. It's 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Tori, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you back
Thank
with
you
us.
Thank you very much.
We missed you.
Oh, well, yeah. That's very nice of you to say, whether you mean it or not.
Well, don't worry about that part. I try. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I got a little sun. I got a few mosquito bites.
That's good. We had, in your absence, we had the mosquito lady in.
I missed Cindy Mulla from Beach Mosquito, but left me some souvenirs, so that's nice.
Was that the mosquito bites?
No, the cup that reminds me to empty my standing water weekly.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah,
you should do that.
Keep that on my
desk.
I did
that over the weekend.
Good.
It was some stuff on the trash can and in the trash can, and I dumped all that out.
The bugs are alive this spring on the Gulf Coast.
I don't like it.
Unbelievable. And maybe our guests have some insight into why we're getting so many bugs, and nature is just encroaching. I don't know what's happening.
Tell us about your guests.
Yes, good morning. The Wildcat Creek community folks are here with us. William Wallace and Philip Smith.
Correct.
And what do you guys do out at the Wildcat Creek community? Or tell us what that is first.
Well, it's actually a educational center. It's Wildcat Creek Educational Center. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit organization, and we focus on sustainability and renewable energy. And so we do lots of workshops, typically four or five workshops a year. We just hosted the North Florida Permaculture Gathering in April.
Is that's your big annual event, the Permaculture Gathering?
It's turning into that. This is the second time we've hosted that. We like to move it around so more people have access to it. But we had about 100 people.
Great. What does permaculture mean exactly? Is that?
It's a way of living. A lot of people think about it just as food production, which is a big part of it, how you grow your food. But it also has to do where you get your energy sources, how you travel, what clothes you buy. So pretty much every aspect of your life. And you're just trying to live in a way that is more sustainable, more permanent for the earth. And so it's a way to mimic nature. Mm-hmm. If you look at how nature has done things, nature has no waste. Everything is used. So we're trying to teach people at the educational center how to live in that manner.
Give us an example. What's the difference in how you grow your food compared to me or the farmer from the grocery store?
Okay, well, let me go first and then make sure you include Philip in
that
too.
Okay, sure.
He's a big food producer. The difference is we don't use any herbicides, fungicides, pesticides.
Nothing.
It's all organic. If you do go organic, there are a few things that you can use that is acceptable. Things like Bacillus thuringiensis for controlling some of the caterpillars and things like that.
So that's like a natural pesticide?
It's a natural pesticide.
Okay.
It's a bacteria
that's
out in the environment anyway. I actually am not using that now. And what you find if you select your plants and your positioning of the plants, it really reduces the number of pests that you have.
Huh.
And you're going to lose some stuff. That's my philosophy, too. Go ahead and plant some extra stuff for the birds and the bees and things like that and expect some losses. But to me, you know, when I go and get that tomato and I don't have to worry about any pesticide residue or anything, it's worth it to me. If it's got a little bug bite on it or if it's not perfectly formed, to me, that's a prize.
Right. Okay. So, and Philip has some other examples of how you...
permaculture is a combination of the words permanent and agriculture. And it was developed by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren over in Australia three or four decades ago, and has become a worldwide phenomenon now. It's growing by leaps and bounds. But basically, it's the idea of using the basic ethics of permaculture, which are earth care, people care, and fair share, and the principles of permaculture, which are 12-plus principles that basically aid you in designing a food production system that is based on diversity as opposed to monocultures, where you set yourself up for failure or a constant battle with pests and pesticides and other pathogens. In permaculture, we design our food production systems to mimic what occurs naturally. You don't have any waste in nature, and you walk into a forest and you see trees growing within 10 feet of each other that are huge, and you know, you see other stuff growing underneath. There seems to be no competition issues, mm-hmm. and there seems to be no refuse left. It all gets recycled and reused. So we have this concept of the seven-layer food forest that we try to establish, and so that you have and every from the root zone to the herbaceous perennial and annual zone to the shrub zone, the subcanopy and the canopy zones and the climbing zones. And you try to find plants that are bioregionally appropriate for your area, and you mimic that, and so that you have a food production system that's producing food 365 days out of the year.
Wow, so great!
You're not dependent on a particular crop at a particular time.
Okay, now, do you guys live out there on the land? I know you can.
No.
Don't you allow people to camp out there and
we,
so forth?
We do. Wildcat is registered as hip camp.
Okay.
And so we do have people come and visit, but no.
That's not where you live.
No,
you just farm the land
right.
Keep it.
Yeah. Well, I'm
keep
out.
Keep it ready
I'm
for
out,
camping.
I'm actually out there about every day.
Uh-huh.
But I do not live there.
And how many people are involved?
Well, it depends. I also host woofers, which are worldwide workers on organic farms. Mm-hmm. And so I have kids coming from all over the world. I have some French kids that are going to show up pretty soon. I've had kids from Iceland and France and Germany and
oh,
Morocco
neat.
And everywhere. And it just depends on what's going on. We're doing some earth-friendly construction where we try to use recycled materials and low-impact building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an off-the-grid farm, so everything is solar energy produced. In order to run your equipment and stuff. So that does put some unique challenges there. But the kids that come to us really embrace those challenges and learn a lot from it and actually educate us on some of the processes. You know, they're coming from cultures that, you know, in the U.S. we have this bigger, better kind of, you know, get it done attitude, but a lot of those kids come from cultures that are much older and have thought about things differently from us. So I learn from them, and then we teach them what we know too. So
great.
Excellent. We're talking with the guys from Wildcat Creek Community, and we'll be back with more of them also on the other side of the break. It's my parents' 52nd wedding anniversary.
Aww.
So 1966, if you do the math real quickly.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I've got a song for them coming up from the Righteous Brothers on the other side of this break here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. 90.7 WKGC. This is The Mix with the Righteous Brothers and Unchained Melody.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. And I'm trying to find the year on that. That one came out with the Righteous Brothers, and I don't remember.
You said your parents have been married 52 years?
Yeah, that's a long time, isn't it?
Wow.
It was 1965.
Great job.
So this was a year before they got married.
All right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
So they very well could have slow danced to that.
Possibly.
While it was popular.
You know what? I'll pretend not even to hear that you just said that.
Slow dancing is family friendly.
I'm sure that it is. It's 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. We have the Righteous Brothers in the studio with us, Bill and Phil.
Yeah.
As we were talking
not,
off air.
They're really the Righteous Brothers, but they are Bill and Phil.
Yeah.
The Unrighteous Brothers.
Yeah.
That'll work. You can use that as a stage name. We're talking about the Wildcat Creek community. Give us a recap again. What is this?
Yeah.
In case somebody just joined us.
Yeah, sure. It is Wildcat Creek Educational Center. It's, again, a nonprofit, and we focus on education and sustainability and regenerative living, of which permaculture is a big part of that. But workshops on solar energy, biofuels, organic gardening, and just about anything you can think of that's earth-friendly, we try to promote.
Very good.
You have camping available out there if someone would like to just enjoy your land for a little bit. Do they have to sign up, or can they just show up with their bedrolls?
If you have my contact information, you can just...
You have a Facebook page.
Yes.
So you can see some of the pictures of what they're talking
right.
about, their gardens, and maybe some of your buildings mm-hmm. out of recycled materials on your Facebook page. Tell us what it is.
Yeah. It is Wildcat Creek Educational Center on the Facebook page. Yeah. So if you'll just type that in, we'll pop up and you can find us.
And you'll message people.
And I message people through the Facebook page.
When's your next educational seminar?
Well, we don't do a lot this time of year because there is a small creek that runs through, and we have lots of wetlands and swamps there. Mm-hmm. And so we do have the heat, the humidity, and the mosquitoes right now.
It's not the greatest time for camping wherever you are around the Gulf Coast. Yeah, it's a little hot out.
Yeah. So we do... I do have some campers coming this weekend, so I'll let you know if they survive the heat.
And the mosquitoes.
Yeah, you're a nonprofit organization, but how do you keep this going? Is there any money involved anywhere?
That's a real good question. We don't make a lot of money at the North Florida Permaculture Gathering that we just had. We generally try to do things on a sliding scale. So we had 16 speakers and provided 6 meals for it, all vegan, vegetarian meals. And the range was a sliding scale of 25 to 75.
Okay.
So we ran it in the black.
So that's kind of like an annual fundraiser type of event.
Not really. We just try to, if we can keep it in the black with their workshops and stuff. I mean, recently... I had someone down from Asheville, North Carolina that built us a earth oven, a big pizza bread oven. Mm. And so her
Like a solar oven?
No, actually build a wood fire in.
Okay.
And it's heavily insulated so that it holds the heat in there. And her cost was $660. So to come down from Asheville for a weekend and teach this. So we do have to have some kind of fees to offset those costs.
Okay.
But again, we're not really into making money. We're really into sharing this information with as many people as possible.
Okay. Now, those tomato plants that you guys gave me at Earth Day, I grew them. And they are just about ready to eat.
Okay, you didn't kill them yet then.
I haven't killed them.
Okay, that's good.
And no bugs have eaten them either, so I must have put them in the right place.
Excellent.
But they're right now turning into those little yellow, cherry tomatoes. Mm. And they look like they're going to be delicious.
Have you planted marigolds around them?
I also plant, yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to keep the bugs away.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, that was just happenstance. I mean, I just happened to have some marigold seeds that I got that day as well. And I did plant the marigold seeds nearby.
Why do you think they gave you the marigold seeds?
I don't know.
You should have asked the question.
They just wanted me to grow pretty flowers.
No, and somebody told us that on the show not too long ago, too. But we have marigolds planted around our garden, and we really don't have a lot of bugs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm going to get more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, so anyway, thank you for those tomato plants. They really worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What else are you growing? What other vegetables or fruits or?
Well, this is the prime growing season right now. Mm-hmm. Before we left home, I picked some large Cherokee purple tomatoes, and my corn is doing well. We have plenty of snap beans, 2 or 3 different types of beans coming in now. We have bell peppers, all kinds of hot peppers. Still have greens, kale. And, you know, the blueberries have done extremely well this year. We've produced a lot of blueberries and a few blackberries. And we have an orchard area that has some persimmons and apples. We had some apples this year. So
what do you do with all the food?
We eat most of it.
Yeah.
That's the best thing to do with it.
So there are enough farmers that you're making about enough for yourselves?
Our goal is to have as much food as we can on site so that when we do have an event, we're able to feed everybody that's there. And the woofers and the workaway people, we can feed them all.
Do you go to the grocery store?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. They're admitting to going to the grocery store sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. There are certain things that you just have to you have to buy. But we are selected that. I mean, we try to eat organic, non-GMO.
Sure.
Yeah.
But our goal is to grow as much as possible through a food forest, which Philip mentioned a lot of the things we're growing. And it's extremely productive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually every meal I can typically get 4 or 5 of the items from the garden to the meal. And then if I'm missing something, I supplement that with a visit to the grocery store.
Absolutely.
We're talking about the Wildcat Preservation.
Wildcat and Creek Educational Center.
There you go. That's what I was going for. I had moved it off my screen and couldn't find it. We've got a weather forecast to let you know how hot it's going to be, and it's going to be hot today. News 13's Kara Murphy has that for us in just a moment. First, though, we want to say we lost another great musician over the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
From one of the greatest movies of all times. I hope producer Brandon has actually seen the movie. The Blues Brothers?
Yes, I've seen
it. Okay, good. Blues Brother guitarist Matt Guitar Murphy died over the weekend. He was 88 years old, so we'll go into our weather forecast with a little bit of the Blues Brothers and Soul Man here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's the Doobie Brothers on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, rocking down the highway. Tracy Chapman, just before that, and give me one reason. We got plenty of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
For all
it's
sorts
Monday.
Of things.
We you can name come up it. With excuses for anything.
Absolutely. Like, you can come up for a great excuse why you were out last week.
I do. Do you want the real excuse, or
no,
do you want
I said
me to
you
make
had to
something
come up,
up?
You had to come up with something.
Oh.
I know why you were out, but you had to come up with something. So you just lost the joke. You're
okay.
No good.
Sorry.
You're supposed to say you were out.
I went to the International Space Station.
There you go. You went back home. You were in the twilight zone.
They're doing fine, by
Are
the
they?
Way.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
They had like a 6.5-hour spacewalk last week as well.
I'll be honest, of all the things in the world that I pay attention to, that's not one of them. They're out walking their dog for 6 hours on the space station. As long as they clean up after themselves,
they did.
I don't
and
care.
We have a reporter in Orlando that always reports on this space stuff, Brendan Byrne.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to it. I support it. I think it's
to my
great.
Afternoon news. He's usually included in the afternoon.
You're
news.
You're on the afternoon news.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
4:30
totally
and
missed,
5:30 p.m.
Totally
during All Things Considered.
I knew that.
Yeah, of course you did.
Of course. We're talking about the Wildcat Creek community, and glad to have Bill and Phil with us this
morning. Good
morning.
Yeah, nice to be here, too.
Yeah.
And we're finding out about their place, which is between Blountstown and Crestview?
Clarksville.
Or Clarksville.
Yeah.
It's on about how many acres?
81. Just
how,
over 81
How does
acres.
One get there?
Head north on 231, take a right on 20, heading east, and go 17 miles, and we're on the right-hand side of the road. It's a big turtle sign there
Right
the road. So,
and you guys are into permaculture and sustainable living. We've talked a little about the gardening. Tell us some of the other things that you're either constructing or doing with the land out there.
Yeah. Well, we're off the grid, so that means that we get all of our electricity generated through a solar system.
Okay.
And so we, our well and water pumping, it's all solar.
Do you have batteries out there to store?
We do. Yeah, we have some nice Trojan batteries, actually two sets of those. And I'm getting ready to install a new system. I've purchased a panels, a big pallet of panels. You can get them cheaper if you buy them in bulk. And we're looking at going with the new technology, lithium ion storage. Mm-hmm. Currently, we're just doing the lead acid storage in the batteries. And I teach solar classes, so I'll probably, during the installation of this new system, offer several workshops so people can come up
great.
And do a hands-on. We've found that people really learn best when you got the tools in your hand and you're moving panels around and you see the wire connections and the battery connections, and versus me standing up there with PowerPoint presentation lecturing about it, you do much better hands-on.
So as an instructor, I can tell you that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
When you can put your hands on it, it makes a whole lot more sense to the students than just me telling you what it should look like.
Right. Absolutely. So look for on the Facebook page for some of those announcements. Probably in early fall, we'll start setting that system up. It's going to be a little over 6,000 watts or 6 kilowatt system, and that will power pretty much everything we do up there.
Like what? What will it power?
Well, we need a kitchen.
Okay, so cooking.
Recently at North Florida Permaculture Gathering, Philip and several others were running the kitchen, and we were feeding vegan, vegetarian meals to roughly 100 people.
Oh.
And the old outdoor kitchen presented quite a challenge for these guys to do that. So we're upgrading to a new, very modern kitchen designed to, produce food for 50, 60, 70 people at once.
Okay.
So that building is under construction, and again, it will be totally off the grid.
Great.
Well, and what are you farming with? Meat. I mean, is your farm area large enough? I mean, and you're still using tractors and implements in that sort of way?
Well, we have a no-till philosophy, okay. And I'd love to go into the details of that and tell you all the reasons why we believe in no-till, because it really, really is important. And Philip alluded earlier to the diversity of plants. Again, that is absolutely crucial, sure, for managing pests and getting the most productivity from your land. So, no, we don't have large spaces. We have probably maybe 2 to 3 acres, maybe a little more than that in food production coming up. But if you use your land wisely and go through the various seasons, the productivity on a small space is incredible. It really is. And the layers, and Philip alluded to the layers too. You have the ground level, and you move on up the canopy there with your trees and the things growing under it, your vines and things that produce food. So if you look at diversity and you look at that entire vertical space, it can be incredible. And just the way we're doing farming now is, it's a disaster, honestly. When you look at our food production in the U.S., it's a disaster. And it really needs to be rethought for the benefits of human consumption in food, but also for the planet. I mean, the amount of glyphosate that's going into our water and our streams is showing up everywhere.
Sure.
And so we really, really critically need to look at a new way to produce our food. And we're hoping through the center there that we can educate as many people as possible on that. Start it small. Start it at your house.
Do you feel healthier? How long have you been organic or vegan?
Well, they're
vegan?
Skinny.
Yeah. Well, they are. Yes.
They are. They're
they
skinny.
They are in good shape.
Yeah.
But we won't ask exactly how old you are.
I'm 63.
Okay. So 63. You look fantastic then.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You asked about our diet.
Right. Do you feel better since you've been doing
great.
That?
I feel really, really good. And I work hard every day. I mean, in this Florida heat, you know, we're a little hotter than on the coast here. So, we have plenty 95-degree days. I work in those days. And, I feel good. So your diet is absolutely, it's crucial to your health. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are what you eat. I truly believe that. And I'll let Philip.
How about you, Phil?
I've been a vegetarian vegan for decades now.
Okay.
And I think I'm in pretty good health. Don't know that I have any maladies right now. And,
right.
And I work, like Bill, we're outside working all day every day. We're both retired. I'm a retired teacher. Bill's a retired science researcher. And a diet's incredibly important. And the idea of producing as much diverse food as we can is our goal. We've recently added a large greenhouse. It's 30 feet wide and 70 feet long. Is that correct? 72 feet long. And we're growing tropicals in there to kind of expand our palate a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And also some microgreens and other stuff there. So we're constantly trying to take in new technology and expand our...
Great.
Yeah, we're going to try kiwis and avocados and mangoes.
Oh.
And we eat those things, so I really don't want them shipped from South America.
Sure.
And if I grow them myself, I know the conditions they've been grown in as far as pesticide-free. Mm-hmm. And you relate to things. You watch them grow. So when you eat that, it's really, it's probably no more nutritious because you watched it grow. But you're connected
spiritually
to that.
Sure.
It really is.
No, there's nothing better than pulling something out of your own garden and being able to say, I made that.
Right.
I helped make it.
And the other key thing about eating fresh is when you pull that tomato off the vine, it doesn't instantly die. The cellular metabolism is still going on with that, but it's lost its nutrient source. So the sooner you eat that, the better the nutrients are, the healthier they are.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. When you pull anything off, okra, whatever you pull off, the cell itself is still going through its normal metabolism, but it's lost its uptake from the photosynthetic leaves, and it's lost its nutrients and water from the roots. So eat it quick.
Okay.
If you want the best nutrients. And if you're growing it locally, it doesn't have to be shipped. It doesn't have to be shipped for weeks in refrigerated trucks. Now, refrigeration does slow down that process of the metabolism of the cells, but it's still going on at some rate. So fresh food is key to good health.
Right.
That's the problem I have with my cherry tomato plant, is that I'll pick them off and I just eat them right away.
You just pop them in your mouth.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to wash it if you haven't sprayed it with anything.
My wife's always like, well, you need to wash it off. I'm like, it's fine. I'll just eat it.
Yeah.
So, so I have a hard time collecting them so we can use them for anything because I'm always eating them.
You look pretty healthy, too.
I'm trying. Thank you very much. He needs to get his eyesight checked. What if folks want to donate? They want to donate to the cause. They want to, because I know building a greenhouse isn't cheap, so that money has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, well, luckily we got a USDA grant for the greenhouse, and that was wonderful. But we will not turn down donations.
Like I said, man.
We're totally always reaching out to the public, and we have lots of young people that can't often afford things. So, you can contact me. My phone number is on that Facebook page, and I think you can even donate through the Facebook page. And if you want to give us a large sum of money, of course, we're happy about it. We can give you a tax write-off on that.
Sure.
And so we can, help you a little bit in that issue, too.
And all the money is going for upkeep and building and that
absolutely,
sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's lots, as you can imagine, running something like that and hosting workshops that range from 20 to 100 attendees, and you're trying to feed those guys several meals and provide materials for them and stuff. So you can imagine the budget does kind of get out of hand sometimes.
Well,
so
I imagine.
We're always happy for a donation, and we'll give you a good plug for it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, guys, thank you for coming in. This was really, really fascinating stuff.
Enjoyed it.
You head up that way, and there's a lot of farmland up there.
Yeah.
Easy to get lost, but you don't know that there's a gem like that that's up there.
I know.
I mean, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I've been through that way many times. I've never noticed it. So we'll have to take a road trip.
Yeah, look for the turtle on Route 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when Tori was talking about hitting the space station, I thought a good excuse would have been to be at Wildcat for the
week.
That's
right.
There you go. That would have been better.
Yep. I was camping
You're missing the suntan, though.
I did.
For being out there working.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much for coming in, and we'd love to have you back to talk more about this. In the meantime, though, we're going to go back in time a little bit. We were talking off air. We play some vinyl every day. We've got a vinyl play of the day. This one comes from 1983.
All right.
It's appropriate for today just because of the lady's name. It's Donna Summer. You know what it could be?
Bad Girls.
No, she works hard for the money. You're listening to The Mix right here on your local public radio station, 90.7 WKGC.